You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits, WPTF Talk Radio, disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. And we've got a great program for you today, folks. Dr. Catherine Sevier is back with us to talk about the challenges of delivering health care in our state and how nurses are an important part of helping address those challenges. But before we get to that, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we like to kick things off a little casually here, and usually I'm in the studio with our esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Unfortunately, he has gone ahead and decided that he was going to put family first this week and go out on vacation, and so instead, I am joined by a new friend here in the studio, Mr. Jeff Hamlin. Jeff, pleasure to meet you, sir.
Pleasure to meet you.
And I understand you're on the air here pretty regularly, though, so I've got to tune into your voice the next time I'm listening to WPTF in the car.
Absolutely. On every afternoon from 3 to 5.
3 to 5. Okay, a little plug there. That's good. So how long have you been with the station?
I've been here for more or less 14 years now.
14 years.
Yeah. It's been quite a lot of fun here, working with some esteemed professionals like Tony Rigsby and Mike Raley and Bruce Farrell. And it's always a lot of fun to come in and visit and be a part of the oldest AM radio station in the state.
Well, wonderful. I have to say, I'm going to take some notes from you, someone who's been doing this for 14 years, because when AARP gets their senses together and kicks me to the curb and I'm looking for a new career, I'm going to be looking for some mentorship. Anyway, really great to have the opportunity to work with you, Jeff. And I wanted to say here, one of the things I want to highlight before we bring on our guest, Catherine Sevi, and I have to say I'm really, really pleased that she and her husband, her partner in crime, David Sevier, happens to be here, though he's got a cold, Mike. He's not going to be on with us much here today. It reminds me of something, you know, that we just had it here in AARP North Carolina very recently, something called, what we typically have called AARP University, which is a conference that we hold, we used to have every now and then pre-pandemic, for our volunteer leaders across the country, across the state. And since the pandemic, you know, that didn't happen. And this year, we had our first one since then, and I have to say I'm still charged up from it, even though it's been more than a week since it concluded. We had 70 volunteer leaders from all across the state come together with our staff for about 3 days just to have the opportunity to be able to connect, to learn from each other what's going on as we're now in a new year, kicking off our work 2024, moving things off on the right foot, making sure we're prioritizing in the right way. And what was really, really great is that I do have, Jason had recommended to me that be a really good idea out in the field to have some equipment to be able to capture things live, or not live, but be able to capture things as they're happening and to be able to re-air them on a program. And so I set up a little station and I called it Grab the Mic with Mike. And had my little microphone and my boom plugged into my iPad and had the chance to talk to a bunch of volunteers about what their experience as a volunteer, what that's been like, what got them to volunteer in the first place. Some of them have been doing it for many years, some only as short as 6 months. And, you know, what they get out of it, what they're most proud of, and what advice they would have for people who are kind of on the edge and need a little bit of a nudge to get them to step in and to be able to volunteer, not just with AARP, but with any organization. And I have to say, every story was different. Every individual answer to those responses was unique and interesting. But there was a pattern that emerged after a little while. And I have to say, one of the things that really struck with me is that, and I believe this is true, are very unique for AARP and some select organizations out there, the word family kept coming up. And the sense that these volunteers, who many of them for the first time in their lives are doing what they really want, they're living out their values, they're using their skill sets, they want to have an impact in the community, they want to connect with people. And they have some real bonds and real friendships that they have created, they've been blessed with, since becoming a volunteer with AARP. And that, to me, is something that really resonates with me, because it's something that I have a lot of personal connection with myself. When I came to AARP, Jeff, back 17 years ago now almost, I had a picture in my head of what quote-unquote retirement was going to be like. And it involved very kind of common picture people have in their heads. It involves laying on a beach and having sand in between your toes and palm trees overhead and, you know, look out for the falling coconuts. That's your biggest source of stress in your life, right? And then I met people who were volunteering. This is up at AARP New York. And before long, I realized, wow, these, for some people, this is the first time in their life where they're really doing what they want to do. You know, they're doing it on their own terms. They can be doing with anybody, and yet they're choosing to do with AARP. And that was inspiring to me, changed my view of what life in the future could be like for me. And I found so many friendships over the years. And I mean, people who were just as excited as my family members when I had my kids, you know, and were sending me cards. And right on down to moving to North Carolina, and in recent years, having folks like the Seviers here who, you know, expressed friendship, you know, to me during times when I needed it, when I had challenges going on in my own life with my own family. And they're people who, you know, among those volunteers, people who would just, you know, check in and just say, hey, just wanted to see how you're doing, you know, make sure you're all right if you need anything. And sometimes just to grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and have a conversation. And that means so much to me. And on that note, folks, I just want to say, do consider volunteering. As you know, April is a month where we are expressing our gratitude for volunteers across the country. I want to say, here in North Carolina, I'm especially proud of the volunteers that I have the opportunity to work with and to become friends with. And you know, open up that door, let your curiosity let you wander in and explore some opportunities, and you just might be surprised with what you find, including some new friends. And that being said, I'd like to introduce my friend here back to the show, Dr. Catherine Sevier. Catherine, so good to have you back here.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back, Mike, although I don't really feel like I've been gone in many ways.
That's true. Yes, you're back here, moved out to New Bern, and then back to Greensboro. Here you are in Raleigh for the day with your partner in crime here, David. He's shaking his head, don't make me talk. But so good to have you back here, and to have you back in the fold at AARP University back a couple of weeks ago. First off, how are you? What have you been up to? I should have mentioned here, you're our former AARP North Carolina State President, served for 6 years. Sorry it took me so long to get to that this morning. What have you been up to since your term ended at the end of 2022?
Well, my term as state president ended, but I felt very much like you were talking about with volunteers. This was mission work for me. It's important to me. And so I've continued on in an emeritus role, working predominantly in where I started, which was as a nurse, and really promoting and working with the nursing community statewide to address something that's very near and dear to our hearts, and that is how to do the best possible care for our patients wherever they are. And we're really all worrying these days because we have a nursing shortage in this state that is of significant proportion.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because the first thing I've got noted here I wanted to ask you about, and this is because since I've known you, I know how concerned you've been about the challenges of our healthcare system here in the North Carolina, including the healthcare workforce shortage. So for those who are listening who don't follow this issue closely, please just define this issue. You know, what does that mean? What are the implications for our state if this shortage goes unaddressed?
Well, I think all of us, having lived through the pandemic, realize how important healthcare workers were during that time and how much work was put into caring for the different kinds of sick folks we had during that time. And what we've learned from all of that is that we have a great need for healthcare workers in various places throughout the state, not just hospitals, but in home health, in caregiving, in visiting or taking care of and educating people by telemedicine, all those things. And so what we're working with now in the state is that we've projected the numbers And we have a significant shortfall. And by that, what I mean is if we do nothing, we will be short over 10,000 nurses in 2033, registered nurses.
That is astounding.
It is. It's very worrisome because this isn't nice to have nurses. These are the people that we need to take care of folks in North Carolina. And we have a maldistribution of nurses in North Carolina as well. You know, for all, those of us who live here, we know we have urban areas and then we have rural areas. And what we're learning is we can't get people to the places where the care is needed. And as we age, and as we AARP know, we're getting older by the day, and we're actually seeing over 11,000 people a day turn 65 in this country. And the health needs of the people as they age is tremendous.
That right, because that number, you think of the snapshot of where we are demographically in the years to come, the need is only going to change because of the percentage of older adults who therefore need more health care. It's an exponential increase. When we return, folks, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Catherine Sevier. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Folks, just a reminder, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a recommendation for a future guest or topic, please send us an email to aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. I've been speaking today with Dr. Catherine Sevier. She's the former AARP North Carolina State President and an advocate focused on healthcare issues. Catherine, on this show, we've talked about healthcare issues a lot. We've had Senator Gail Adcock on the show a couple of times, who, as you know, is a nurse practitioner, in fact, the only nurse practitioner to have ever served in the legislature. Why are nurses such an important part of our healthcare system? And what opportunities are out there that you're focused on right now?
Well, nurses are in every aspect of healthcare throughout our state. If you think about school nursing, we have folks that are there caring for our kids, screening them, teaching them, educating them, and then going all the way through to people like Gail Adcock, who is a nurse practitioner. We have nurse practitioners, midwives, nurse anesthetists, all of whom provide care and practice independently, or can practice independently and hang out their own shingle, if you will, and provide that care for people in their communities. I was just talking about the healthcare shortage in this state, and it's not limited to just nurses. We are short a lot of primary care providers. And one of the ways we want to close that gap is by having people function or be able to practice fully with the licenses and education and skills that they have. And so in North Carolina, one of the things we're working on is trying to get something called the SAVE Act passed. And the SAVE Act changes the licensing laws so that nurse practitioner I was just talking about could open a family practice in a community where there's no health care right now. And we have 11 counties in this state that are complete healthcare deserts, have no practitioners. And this would begin to solve that problem. And so Senator Adcock has been one of our biggest proponents of getting the laws changed so that we can, in fact, permeate the state with more care providers.
It's so important to take that seriously because folks are, when they think about healthcare, people are very resistant to the idea of, you know, one size fits all government type of approach. You got to do things piecemeal for sure. And especially a state like North Carolina, which has so many rural counties, 70 out of our 100 are rural. And as you said, you know, 11 of them are actually healthcare deserts, which is astounding. You've worked really closely with the North Carolina Institute of Medicine over the years, and most recently you've been serving as a co-chair of the Task Force on the Future of Nursing Workforce. And that task force is going to be making formal recommendations soon. Tell us a bit about that work and what can we expect.
So this workforce came to be because we saw the need and we were so alarmed by it. And so for over a year now, we have been meeting. It's a group of experts, not just nurses, but people from insurance, physicians, from community organizations. AARP has been represented, as have a lot of other community organizations, asking the comprehensive question of how can we improve on our workforce and get those numbers up. And so it's everything from having more capacity at our nursing schools and more clinical experiences for them, to looking at how we retain nurses when they're working in a hospital or a health system so that they want to stay and not leave the profession or retire early. And then how do we grow the supports around them so that it's not just about nursing, it's about how do we grow the whole healthcare system to support the needs of a growing population. And we've got numerous recommendations that are coming out. What I say is that gets us to the starting gate with, we've now identified a lot of problems. We have ideas about how to fix them. Now it's going to be up to all of us, and that includes especially our consumers, our patients, to really speak out and to help make those things happen so that people want to work in healthcare and stay here in North Carolina and take care of each other.
And knowing you and understanding a sense of this task force, I know, you know, you see the nursing workforce for its potential in terms of needing to step up and provide leadership and provide advocacy. Tell me a bit about that. What does that look like in the real world? Like, how does that actually work?
So we have a partnership right now as nurses and the North Carolina Future of Nursing, which is an organization that's come together of nurse leaders throughout the state who are really trying to improve how we work in the community. So we have nurses that are now doing studies on food access, food banks, and how to get people that they're seeing in the hospital who don't have, who are food insecure, how to get them resources. And so it's carrying that thread from what we know about healthcare and wellness to the community in a number of different ways. We can speak out. We can be the expert that comes into a city council meeting and talks about what we're seeing happen to people that are living next door to you and me, that are having these healthcare needs that need to be changed.
I think it's so important, and I'm so excited to hear about this work lifting off the ground. I know recommendations and things like that, you know, they're going to have their own path, each of them. But this, it's astounding to me, you know, in doing this type of work for about 25 years now myself in different ways, how little our decision makers and elected officials know about some things, you know, and they're not there to see how policy actually gets implemented, how the rubber hits the road. And it seems within our healthcare system, as fragmented as it is, nurses can play an incredible role in helping bridge that communications gap.
Absolutely. And one of the things that they teach you early on in your nursing career is your role is as an educator. You are helping people learn to live with whatever they're presented with, whether it's a sickness or a social problem that's in their environment. So I think it's up to us to help define what those issues are in a really accurate way. Politicians are an inch wide, or a mile wide and an inch deep. Mm-hmm. And so we can provide a second or third inch to that by helping them to understand why what we're focusing on is important to their constituency and to their families, frankly, because we all have a family that's multi-generational that has needs, you know, across the board. And so we need to be looking at how we do that.
Mm-hmm. Before we switch topics, anything else you want to highlight about this important work? And then for those who are listening who may be nurse practitioners or others in that field who want to get involved or learn more.
So yes, great opportunity. Please go to the Future of Nursing Action Coalition website. There is a place on there where you can learn about what's going on, because this is a nationwide movement that was started 20 years ago by AARP and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And you can find North Carolina on there, and our contact information is there, and we have a way for you to volunteer. So we really want to hear from you. And I would just encourage everybody both to get active politically this year in the election, but in subsequent years, there are going to be so many opportunities for us to work in the community together to make some of these changes.
Mm. Great, great. Now, speaking of that, I know we don't do endorsements on this show, but in the last minute or two that we've got, obviously this is an election year. Is healthcare a big issue for you this year? Especially from our gubernatorial candidates here in the state and nationally, what's on your
Well, what's always on my mind is our Medicare system and how we maintain it, how we look at making certain that people have access to the resources they need, and that we preserve the intent of that, which is to provide medical care for people as they age so that we have that safety net for them. So I always want to know what a gubernatorial candidate thinks about that and how they see that working together with the resources of our state to provide health care.
Mm. It's going to be a big year. Also, in our last 30 seconds or so before we close out, this month where AARP and other organizations are taking some extra time to make sure that we acknowledge and recognize our volunteers. What advice do you have for those who may be listening who are thinking about volunteering but think that they don't have the time? You're one of the busiest people I know, I think, you and David, and yet y'all still, so much of what you're doing is volunteering. What would you say to them?
I would say that if you have the privilege of being retired and healthy, this is your time to say, what do I care about and how can I contribute back? Because it's a long life if you're not really engaged in the world in doing something. And all of us have a passion, whether it's creative arts for kids, teaching someone to read, advocating for health care, whatever that is, there is an opportunity there, and it is the most rewarding work that we do. It feels good, and I like to feel good. And so for me, knowing that I'm leaving a legacy or pushing forward to help somebody else is what makes me feel good. And I think most people, when they try it, they love it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. What a wonderful note to end on. Catherine Sevier, thank you so much for being here, my friend. It's great to see you, as always. That is a wrap, folks. Thank you to the Seviers for joining me here in the studio. Thanks to Jeff Hamlin for production this week. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.